open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of John, chapter 1. The book of John, chapter 1. Crown Him Lord of All is a very good song to intro into our lesson. And because that's what we're going to be spending time talking about this evening. You know, we want to seek the mind of Christ. That's the whole idea behind our studies. And when we look at the Bible and we read different things, and all from the Old Testament to the New, we can find things that talk about our Savior, Jesus Christ, His humanity, His interaction with the people of His time, how He approached sinners. And what He did when people came to Him who were in need, people who came to Him with honest and good hearts, people who came to Him with various diseases and disabilities, how He healed people and comforted people, and they chose to become His disciples. And that's something that we today can look back upon, as John wrote in the 20th chapter, that, you know, all these things were written, all these miracles recorded, everything, so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, that we may have salvation in Christ Jesus. And so as we, you know, every time you open your Bible, it's like taking a journey. You're taking a journey from the beginning of all things right on through with a picture of what is going to be. That's a wonderful thing, to be able to know what is going to be in the big picture. And so it's a genuine and a wonderful thing. And Jesus, when we think of Him, He wasn't just a man. Josephus is the one that recorded that there is a man in Jerusalem, if it's lawful to call him a man, who had done many signs and wonders before the Jews and before many witnesses. So Jesus wasn't just a man. Jesus healed the sick. He caused the lame to walk. He caused the blind to see. Jesus is the one who, when somebody couldn't hear, He could make them hear. And He even raised some people from the dead. So Jesus is very, very special. And over time, I think that if you really dig into the Scriptures, if you really allow yourself to live those lives of the disciples and of the early prophets, and even the life of Christ, to walk in those footsteps in your mind through the Word of God, that you'll be able to find Jesus. The Scriptures tell us that very plainly. You search the Scriptures, and in them you think that you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of Me. Wonderful, wonderful thing. We can look at the Scriptures, and we can do whatever we want with them, but they are the things that testify of Jesus. You know, prophecy never came by the will of man, Peter wrote, but by holy men of God who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so when we think of the Bible, you know, it is simply pages. It's paper, leather, paper, but it's the mind of Christ. It's the mind of God. It's very special. And listen, you know that this book, the words that are printed here, thousands of years old, and yet they're still here. I know that Brother Matt collects books of different nature. And I know that some of those books are very expensive. I have a bookshelf full of books that I've never even read. To the writing of books, there is no end. But the mind of Christ, it's not the books of man. This is not subjective man looking and groveling around looking for Jesus. This is God in heaven who has decided to give us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Peter wrote that. 2 Peter. Check it out. And listen, it isn't just a book. It's a message, and we want to talk about that tonight. And what a better place to begin than in John's Gospel. In the book of John, chapter 1, we read those words, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That word "beginning" comes from a Greek term, arche. And arche simply means, according to Fares, it means beginning, origin. It's used absolutely, you listen, absolutely of the beginning of all things. Absolutely of the beginning of all things. And that's where we start. We think about this. In the beginning. That means before creation. That means before anything. In the beginning was the Word. Absolute. The Son of Jesus. We read as we read on. He made everything. He was the vessel, the vehicle through which God created all things. And when we think of in the beginning, we also realize Genesis chapter 2 and verse 26 that God says, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness. Jesus was there in the beginning. So Adam was formed from the dust of the ground. The Lord God breathed breath into his nostrils and he became a living soul. Genesis chapter 2 and 7. Jesus was there in the beginning. And what John's telling us about the Word is that it was there in the beginning. And the Word, you know, that was there in the beginning. A second point here. Most of us, we get text messages, right? I get them. I'm not exactly thrilled about them. I'm still old school. I like to talk to people. But we get text messages on our phone. We get a message that tells us, hey, I'm over here in Amish country. We get another message that says, oh, my furnace broke down. Another message, Dad, do you know? We get messages all day long. We get messages that inform us, messages that help us think, messages that direct us in some way or another, messages that help us to cook cookies properly. But there's one thing for certain, that all those messages, unless that's the Word of God being sent, you know, if somebody sends me a quote from the Bible, all those messages are from the mind of man. They're from the mind of man. And God's Word is much more than the mind of man. Again, it's not subjective. It isn't something that was established and created here on earth trying to find heaven. It's something that came down from heaven. In the beginning was the Word. It came down from heaven so that we would know the truth, and the truth would make us free. We are receiving a message from God every time we open the Bible. And the Word, you know, it's more than a word. It isn't just a word. It is a message. Thayer says that the term halagos, which is what that is, in the Anarchai halagos, the Word, that it is a message. He says a word, yet not in the grammatical sense, equivalent to vocabulum, the mere name of an object. No, a language, a word which is uttered by the living voice, and it embodies a conception or an idea. It's a message. It's a message. In other words, we think of this, you know, the Word. It's not one word. It's not Jesus. It's not one word. But it's all that Jesus ever spoke. All that was in the mind of God, the mind of Christ for man is written down in this book. Everything Jesus ever meant for us to hear is in this book. Everything God meant for us to hear, to learn, is in this book. All that the things that Jesus did that are recorded in this book are coming to us as a message from God. That's the meaning behind the Word. You know, and this message, it came from the true and the living God. It didn't come because men like Calvin or going way back Josephus or way back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it wasn't men. As we, a moment ago, these things were written by holy men of God. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that's the only way that John can be harmonizing with Matthew. Matthew harmonizes with Mark. Mark harmonizes with Luke. Luke harmonizes with the rest of the Scriptures. The book of Acts harmonizes. The book of Romans harmonizes with the book of Acts. We studied this morning, and you notice we were in the book of Thessalonians, but we went back to read about the Thessalonian account in the book of Acts 17. It mentioned Philippi. We went back to Acts 16. Everything is connected. And it's connected in such a way that it is literal proof that this is more than just a word. It's a message. Jesus came into the world. You know, he sent us a message. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's no variable nor shadow of turning with God, James says. God is the Father of lights. And we're getting a message from one who is the Father of lights. He is light. There is no darkness at all. That means that the message is pure. It's not like a message from me. It's not like a message from any man. It's a message from the only true and living God. And it's pure, unadulterated, unchanged. Well, Dave, that's just a version. You know, we all got different. No, we don't have different versions. We have different translations. One's a King James, one's a New King James, one's an NIV, an ASV, whatever. But those aren't versions, they're just different translations. So in one book, one version, the King James, you read that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabaoth. Right? In another translation, you read he's the Lord of hosts. Because the word Sabaoth, which I had to learn because I always thought that meant Sabbath, but a little study, it means host. So different translations aren't different versions. There's only one version of the Bible. And God has preserved that in such a way that no matter what translation you read, within reason, because men are out there, they're trying to pervert the word. There's some translations, you shouldn't just burn them. But God has preserved his word. Why did he do that? To tell us all about what pertains unto life and godliness. I mentioned that, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. He's here to tell us about the will of the Father for us in our lives. To show us the love of God. The love of the Father. The love of the Creator. The love of the one who has been waiting and waiting and waiting for us. The certain time that he has appointed when we will be raised up off this earth to meet him face to face. To establish the gospel of Christ, the plan of salvation that the Father has laid out before the foundation of the world. To show us the Father himself through that word, through Jesus. You know, you look at me, you've seen the Father, Jesus says. You ask me to show us. Listen, he's there. Look at me. All the things that I teach, all the things that I do, everything is of the Father. He shows us those things. How to glorify the Father. To fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill the law of Christ. Everything is there. The law of the prophets has been fulfilled. Jesus was on that cross. He nailed that law to the cross. And ultimately to teach us about his shed blood. Why he died for us. What the ramification is. How powerful is that blood? And I got to tell you, that blood could save me. It can save anybody. What is that? A worm like me. This is the message which we have heard from the beginning. And we declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Pure truth, unadulterated. And we just scratched the surface. We wouldn't even have enough time to really get into all those subjects. But I'll tell you, when you do, there's no way that this doesn't come to life. No way. The mind of Christ edifies everybody who studies it. It edifies us in our work as Christians in the church, in our lives with one another. The scripture says that it equips the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. What a wonderful thing. You know, we're equipped to do different jobs in life. God's equipping us to have spiritual understanding. By the word, the message, the mind of Christ, we know all about the things of God with certainty. How to worship God in spirit and truth. And listen, spirit and truth, don't be confused. When he says, Jesus said spirit and truth, he was drawing a contrast when he said spirit between the old physical way of the Old Testament law, all the sacrifices and all the ordinances and all those laws, everything they physically had to do, with Spirit of God, with the mind of Christ, with external worship, not internal worship, not external worship. And then he says, in truth. You know, worshiping God in truth means to worship God as directed by God, as God has shown us in the Word of truth, to direct us in the right path. For example, he tells us to sing, so we sing. He tells us that we are to give to the work of the church on the Lord's Day. We do. Observing the Lord's Supper is something that we do because the mind of Christ has told us this. And by our teaching, our preaching, we do all these things because we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind. You know, go to Ephesians chapter 1 just quickly. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 14. You know what we have? Salvation. That's what it's really all about. Ephesians chapter 1, at verse 7, it begins with the words, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in this in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. In him, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." Look at verse 12. "That we, who first trusted in Christ, should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also have trusted, after you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory." Purchased possession. You know what that is? You. You are the purchased possession. When Jesus died on the cross, it was to purchase you, make you free. And he gave us this. In the beginning was the Word and the message. And listen, and in your bulletin today, we have this third and final point about Jesus being deity. Jesus is deity. As we think about this, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what John told us. Jesus walked on water, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he had the power over the wind and the rain and the sea. He was divine. You consider that as the doctrine of Christ is revealed to us in this precious Word, this message that came down from God to us. The first Christians in the church, you know, the church, the pillar and the ground, the church the of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. And they celebrated Jesus. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, beloved of the world, that's Jesus. Received up in glory, that's Jesus. And why did he do all that? So that you could be purchased through his blood. So that if you are able to walk worthy of your call, the calling of God, if you're able to walk worthy of all the things that Jesus has done for you, you can be raised up by Jesus. What a wonderful thing. And listen to me. Walking worthy You know, we talked about that this morning, and I don't know, I probably should have said this morning, but walking worthy does not mean you're worthy. Don't let me confuse you, but you can't be worthy enough to be saved. You can't be worthy enough to earn your way into heaven. We are like worms, the scripture says. And in that sense, I could never be worthy enough to attain the glory of heaven without Jesus Christ, without His blood. I could never be that worthy. Listen, we are a people who should be having our heads bowed down, humble, thinking about Jesus, all that He did, everything that's written in this Word. We should be humble. Our heads should be bowed down because we're not worthy. Only Jesus is worthy. Not me. Not me. And so I want, you know, consider these things. We're just mere men. We are created. We don't fit the description of being worthy. But when we accept Christ, when we listen to this wonderful message, this powerful message, and we obey it, and we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, and we walk worthy of God, and we keep our eyes focused on eternity as we live our life for that purpose and that focus. Listen, you know what? Because He's worthy, through His blood, He can connect us to the Father. And He can make us worthy, but through His blood, not of anything that we do. You know, and the fact that He's deity means that He existed long before anything we can possibly imagine. All through the New Testament, Jesus talks about Him being in existence. You know, here in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The beginning was the Word. The Logos. You know, the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was there in the beginning. John the Baptist testified of Jesus. You know, He who comes after me is preferred before me. Yeah, because He was before me. John chapter 1, verse 15. Jesus Himself declares, you know, He prayed to the Father. Oh, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had before the world. You see, John 17 and 5, Jesus was there. Most assuredly I say unto you, that before Abraham was, I am. Jesus. If that's not enough, you know, He's Lord. Right? And that word Lord is very important. When you look in that bulletin, that word Lord, very important. Because in the Septuagint, the word that is used in Joel specifically is the same word, Jehovah, the proper name for God, as Lord. When you read Joel and you read the Lord, that's the word. That's the word. And when you read about Jesus in the New Testament, that same word is being transliterated. Jehovah is the word. Jehovah. It's very important. When you read all the things that were supposed to happen according to Joel, they did happen. You know? Man. And then, you know, when we compare those things, Romans 10 and 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, okay, same word. Acts 2 and 21, what did Peter, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, that's Jesus. Joel, and it shall come to pass whoever calls on the name of the Lord. Does that sound familiar? That's Jesus, same word. In Acts chapter 10, you know, He's Lord of all. He is the Lord of lords, the King of kings, Revelation 17 and 14. And so He has these titles. He's God. He's the Son of God. He's the Almighty. All those things are recorded. That's Jesus. Almighty, Revelation chapter 1 and 8, the Lord, again, who was and who is and who is to come, the Almighty, Revelation 1 and 8, that's Jesus. And anyone who doubts the claims that Jesus is deity, they're not studying this wonderful, amazing, harmonized, from Genesis to Revelation book. And we've said this before. 66 books, over 40 authors, all harmonize. Impossible. You know, that one thing is what made me really get serious about the Bible. That one thing. 66 books, 1,500 years, 40 different authors, no contradictions. Impossible. Can't happen. Just impossible. Course with God, right? All things are possible, and He made it possible for us to have this book so that we can see the things that are written, see the things that are recorded, and we can see the proof, and we can have faith and receive grace. And He's divine. He's the everlasting God. He's omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. Right? He's always here. He is all powerful, or all knowing and all powerful. That's God. That's Jesus. His own words, the words of Jesus. Right? John 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. By Him were all things made, without Him was not anything made that was made. That's Jesus. Think about that. Think about that. He is the sustainer, the creator. He can forgive sins. Can you do that? I can't. I mean, I can say, I forgive you. I can say that all day long. You can transgress against me. You can shoot me and come back later and say, oh, please forgive me for shooting you. And I can say, I forgive you. But that don't mean anything. Because the forgiveness that matters is the forgiveness that you get from God. The forgiveness that matters is the forgiveness of your sin that's washed away by the blood of Christ. That's the only forgiveness that matters. And He's the only one that can do that. Nobody else. No president, no king, no prince, no judge. Can't be done. My son was hit. His car was hit by a woman that was drunk. She crashed her car into the side of his car and took off to a fair down the road. They found her drunk. She had the keys of her van in her pocket, went to court, and the court said, nope, not guilty. Really? Don't matter what the judge says. The only thing that matters is the judge, Jesus. If He says you're not guilty, you're not guilty. Because His judgment is righteous. He's the only one that can forgive sin. Who other than an omnipotent God could do these things? He accepts worship. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Revelation 5:12. Worthy is the Lamb. Worship by a leper, Matthew 8, 2 and 3. That was Jesus. Think about that. He was worshipped by a blind man who He healed in John chapter 9. Worshipped by those who saw Him walking on the water in Matthew 14. Jesus was worshipped and He accepted that worship. And you know, the Jews knew that He, when He accepted worship, that He was claiming to be deity, and of course He is. Facts are facts. Jesus was none other than God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus. He's the one. He's the one who, through God, God used him to create the heavens and the earth. He was there during the flood. He was there when the sun stood still in the days of Joshua. He was there when the Spirit caused the prophets to speak. And he was the one who took on the form of humanity and died for our sins, for your sins. That's Jesus. He was the one that Paul said, being God, he didn't count it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. That's Jesus. Let himself become the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, found in the appearance of man. That's Jesus. He humbled himself to become obedient even to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That's Jesus. Deity. Love. Boy, they go hand in hand. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He came to bring light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. Where are you when we talk about the mind of Christ? Where are you? Where are you? But you know, there's good news. There really is. The scriptures tell us. But as many as receive him, to them he gave them the right to become the children of God. All you have to do is believe and obey. To those who believe in his name, who were born of not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. It's not me, it's not myself, not I. You know, my blood has the power that God gave it to keep my body sustained, to bring that oxygen and those nutrients and things to all my organs and keep me alive as God has designed. But it can't save me. My blood can't save you. Your blood can't save you. It's not the will of man, but obeying the will of God. That's what saves us. That's what saves us. I hope you comprehended all that. I'm trying to make it as simple as I could. I printed that bulletin out. I thought it kind of matched that lesson that we had this morning as far as, you know, walking worthy. You know what you can do today to walk worthy? You can receive Jesus. You can say, look, I'm not perfect. I don't know everything. But I do know that what you're preaching is true. I know that I've denied the Lord for many years. Doesn't matter. Because Jesus receives us with open arms, no matter who we are, what we did. And Jesus wants each one of us who has not yet done so to accept his invitation. If you open your songbooks to the song 493, a great selection, they usually are, but I surrender all. That's what we have to do. You know that book you call the Bible? I can't argue with it. If you think you can argue with the Bible, you know, show me the argument. Go ahead. We'll sit down together and we'll hash it out. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is all just a fable. Maybe this is just nonsense. But sit down and at least take the time and talk about it. Because if you're right and I'm wrong, I'll change. If I'm right and you're wrong, you need to change. Whoever confesses, you know, I surrender all. To him I freely give. Jesus ever loved you, and we need to ever love him. We need to obey the gospel. We need to accept Christ, we need to confess him before men, and we need to be baptized having repented of our sins. It's a simple, simple thing to do, to be washed, have our sins washed away by that blood of the one called Jesus. Will you do that tonight as we stand and as we sing?